this subject change without notice. Join me in the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Right into the hearing of delegations and public input. So the public input, anybody can have up to 5 minutes to address the board. Does anybody have something they want to bring up? Leo?
I just want to know how we're making out with the cemetery.
Last I talked with
Rick.
Rick said he would get it done right off.
So you do know, though, that we've been dealing with Rick for well over a year on this same matter. It's brought to the town. It's been 3 months now. And I know that whatever the reason, it's not high on Rick's list.
John?
I was thinking of this the other day. You've got another cemetery in town here. It's got a very similar situation. You got your Chadbourne Cemetery set up with perpetual care. The Rollins family's been taking care of that one for years. They do the management of it. They manage the money. They do everything. I don't know if they would be interested in another cemetery or not, but they've been taking care of that one for, God, I don't want to say 20 years, but it's either been close to that or more. And point being, they know what they're doing. They know the ins and outs. There isn't much that they don't know about it. So if they were interested, they would almost be, they know what they're doing. You could just turn them loose. Chadman isn't manicured. Leaves are raked, and it's mowed, and they clip around.
But by the same token, the people that have deeds that say perpetual care, once those lots are done, there's no more money coming in. And that's the problem that's being faced over here, is once these lots get filled, there is no more money coming in.
Right, but there's enough when they sell the lots. You know, to subsidize some of it. Yeah, you're right.
Lots have to go up a lot of money. And we figured it all out, and I even got quotes for that cemetery to have that cemetery mowed, mm-hmm. and it was not cheap.
What was it? Remember, roughly?
I have it at home. I mean, I've been dealing with this for 3 years. I want to say it was somewhere right around $14,000 just to mow it, and then the time to weed whack. And the weed whacking was done hourly because they had to go around every stone. It was expensive. So you figure, Goodwin's Mill Cemetery has 90-some thousand, roughly, that, of course, we don't get reports or anything, but they got 90-some thousand. But if you're spending $14,000 just on mowing,
doubles up in
5 years, you're out of money.
So you're saying they have 90,000?
It's more than that.
And I've heard 100,000.
It's more than that. I was using
130,000. And then when you ask who has the records, I can't tell you who has those records.
Connie Hill has most of them.
Who has the checking account?
Yeah, who can write the checks?
So I believe it's Connie who can write the checks. She's the treasurer.
So she would know the balance.
She does. And well, the problem, and here lies the problem. I approached them to try to put this money into investments, or a portion of it in investments, where the money would return itself every 7 years, guaranteed. Guaranteed. Whatever you put in it would return itself. They're all old school. They believe in certificate of deposit, which is paying a return of less than 1.5%. So it just made it hard because nobody wanted to listen to options. You know, we tried to get them all to resign. None of them would resign. We were going to start and go right from ground one. Rick said, I'll help you guys reestablish everything else. Well, Rick's done nothing. And like I said, this is over a year. So we feel as though that it is best now at this point to have the town take it over.
I guess the question is, take over what?
Take over the cemetery.
Well, that would mean taking over the money as well.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
That would be a tough thing.
And I think that's been our obstacle, part of our obstacle all the way along. Nobody can give us any answers to where the money is and who's doing what, and they're all kind of clandestine about it.
Well, that's welcome to...
the club.
Yes.
Take us to court.
We've been battling this.
Well, the whole issue is, why would we want to take on somebody else's debt?
Well, partly because the state says you're liable to. You have to. You don't have a choice. Yes.
Can you show me
that? Is that privately owned?
No. I can show you that.
I'd like to see, because we don't own it.
You know, you don't own it.
We don't.
You can take it over, though.
But again...
And you are going to be...
Why?
So, because there are World War II veterans in there, there are Civil War veterans in there, which means that then it becomes the town's responsibility to upkeep and maintain that cemetery. There's a statute. I
well,
I know there's something printed that perpetual care has to be taken care of for veterans.
So the other side of that coin is are there grants to go along with that that we can get to help pay for something?
There are some. But they're not easy to get. And a non-profit entity like...
Are you saying it's a dead end?
No, no. I'm just saying that a non-profit entity that the Goodwin's Mill Cemetery was, which is no longer... It was never recorded or anything that we can find. The municipality goes ahead of anybody that's... Because then it's a municipal cemetery, not a private cemetery. Because theoretically right now, that cemetery is a private cemetery.
Questions? Ideas?
I think there should be a public hearing on it, so that non-folk thing.
Yeah, there might be other input, too.
We'll get another turn.
I would vote for that.
Well, I think until we find out who's responsible for what's there... And we can get somebody here to give us some real answers instead of skirting the issue.
I can have Amos come back. Amos is the most knowledgeable.
He wouldn't even give us all the names. He won't even tell us who's involved.
That's a county.
Well, you know that Bill Harris is a trustee. You know that, Waterman is a trustee. There's only three. Then you have your treasurer and a secretary.
Isn't Bill mowing it right now?
Bill has been mowing.
That's what I thought. I've seen him over there.
Yeah.
Bill has been mowing. Easy part, but the other part is really falling apart bad.
Yeah. Bill's only taking care of the new section because he's got family in there.
Yeah. And there's nothing in the way. Pretty flat and open in that area. So.
I'm just saying that this has gone on a long time. And it needs to be addressed.
Don't you know, Mr. Hall?
Oh, go ahead, Michelle. I'm sorry.
Is a thought just to get the ball rolling for you gentlemen, it figures out maybe it's worth contacting your attorney and laying out for him and seeing what he says, because if it does land in your lap, accidentally or however it may be, right now that money's still there. But between now and when you finally wind up having to take it over because the veterans or World War who's in there, if there aren't any grants, it'd be nice to be able to know you could secure that money towards what's going to happen with that. And it maybe it doesn't hurt for your lawyer to send a letter to them to get open talks.
I thought we already discussed that with the town council.
He was going to discuss it with Rick.
Maybe a follow-up on that then to see where it landed and have him be a little more forward in this letter to get some answers for you. Because it keeps coming up.
And I would be surprised that he doesn't want to be involved. Doesn't he live right there?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was across the corner.
He's the one that approached us initially and said that he would be very interested in reorganizing that cemetery. And it just continued, it just spiraled out of control. So then we found another attorney, Charlene Philbrick, who said she would be more than happy, but she didn't want to step on Rick's toes. She had a couple of conversations with Rick, and then it just dropped. We approached Charlene again. She's like, I don't know what his deal is. I don't know what his hang-up is. I asked him at the annual town meeting, Rick, are you making any progress with the cemetery? Ah, I've been meaning to get a hold of Amos, and I just haven't had the chance. Okay, well, he drives by your house every day. A phone call. Anything. It just, Rick is not the guy to do this. Don't know why.
I'm not saying anything either way. I'm listening to what everybody's saying here.
How long do you know
him? Rick? I've known him for 20, 30 years.
No, as long as I have. I have to call him.
I can call him.
I mean, are we going to keep stretching out the legal leg? We'll take it out of contingency. So, can you do that?
Yeah, I can do that.
My first gut was, I want Brad to tell me, what are we in for? What are the odds of this? You know, if he is working on it, I'd like to know.
Oh, well, that's a follow-up call for sure. Yeah. I know we already talked about this.
That was my first gut.
I believe you asked that question a little more, Brad.
Well, we did. I think he was here when we did the discussion. And again, the question was asked, well, who's got the records, and we were getting that, I can't tell you.
What records? Well, to Michelle's point, I mean, it's a clear yes or no. Is it going to end up in our lap?
Yes.
In the future, yes or no?
Absolutely.
So if it's going to end up in our lap in the future, then we might as well start dealing with it now.
Yeah, because would you rather wind up with the $90,000 in your hand or nothing?
Agreed.
When it hits you. It's really worth it.
The question is, can you get the $90,000 released and turned over to us?
Yes.
There's the question.
If people paid money for it to be cared for, technically it'd be fraud.
Well, see, now the new deeds, the new deeds are not being written with perpetual care.
Smart.
But how are you going to segregate a cemetery?
Oh, my gosh, right?
Right? So how are you going to segregate?
That'd be tough.
Mow this one, but not that one.
Yeah.
So you can't. So, I mean, we've said all along that this has to be done. At some point in time, no matter what happens today or within the next year, it's going to come to the town. It's on town property, or it's in the town footprint.
If we ended up owning it, it's something that we could actually put into the budget.
Right.
To always keep, like, have a non-lapsing account so that if you didn't use it all up, it stays there, and you always have some money to take care of it. And it's something we could budget in and figure it into the grand plan, you know?
Yeah. But the first thing first,
I'll check with
you. The yes answer.
Put the church on that.
John? Are all the graves in that cemetery sold?
No.
So that means if we're taking that over, we're taking the administration of it over too?
Yes.
Yeah, we take it all, I would assume.
But like Dave said, if we talked to the Rollins and they were going to manage it, they would take care of that.
That's what John said.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm sorry about that.
We work a lot of
work.
There's actually, there's a potential in two owners.
A potential?
Potential.
And who are they? Do you know?
The names on the top of my head. No,
the church
was one of them. The church gave it back to the family that gave it to the church.
Oh, okay. So.
And the family that, when the church gave it back, Amos is the one, he's the history guy on the whole cemetery. He's the one to ask how that all conveyed. She gave it to the association, But the association, there's no record of the association. There's no filings. There's no tax returns. There's no EIN. There's nothing.
Is there a deed to that property? Must be somebody's name on a deed.
No.
If someone's sharing their bodies, I would, if dead bodies are going there, I would assume there's some state regulation that says someone has to be running it. And if they're selling plots where dead bodies are going, there has to be some regulation that says something. So if they're just doing this and they have extra, I mean, there has to be a regulation that they can be shut down if they're not following through. There has to be something by the state. Can't they shut them down?
No.
I would think if there's dead, I mean, if there's dead bodies going there, I mean, I would assume that even the morticians wouldn't put a body there if it's not being cared for.
Because they're being recorded, because it is a grandfathered cemetery, and because everything is being done to the law, they have no interest in intervening. We tried to get the state to help us reorganize the cemetery association.
When?
June.
Of this year?
Yes. And they are not, they're like, that is not our fight.
Have you contacted Wayne Perry or your representative?
No, we contacted Susan.
The Shambo?
Maybe.
John? The people I mentioned might be able to communicate very well with Amos.
Amos is the guy, he's the history guy. He knows all about it. He's been doing it for 30 years.
Right. So, I guess where I'm going is, if that's...
And I think Amos is at the point where he'll give you any name you need.
I thought he said at the last meeting that if you asked him, he would give you the names. He just didn't want to do it on TV.
I'll get him. I'll get you
there. That, actually. Yeah, he didn't want to do it.
What I was going to finish with... family I mentioned, if they're interested, and I get the last people in the world I would ever want to speak for, they're pretty independent, but if they're interested, I think they would communicate very well with us.
But they've also got some age on them too, Joe.
RJ's mid-40s. Maybe 50, but not, his dad must be touching 80, I think.
And I think that's the only reason RJ's doing it.
I don't know. I haven't talked with him in a while. They bought that little backhoe for that job particularly. They're all set up. They handle all the burials. They handle everything with that cemetery. I don't know. What I'm saying is, and I don't want to belabor the point of the, if they were interested, they are certainly capable. Mm. And that it could even, I mean, they could administrate, they could do everything.
I'll check with these two people and we'll go from there.
Yeah.
Okay?
I mean.
All right. No, thank you.
Do you want me to get you the names?
Yes.
Or do you want...
Whatever you get for names, please.
Or do you want me to invite Amos back?
I'd rather have the names.
Okay.
At this point. Does anybody else have 5 minutes of input? Michelle?
Just really quick, has anything gotten better about locking the gate at Connecticut Pond at night?
We talked about it today.
Oh, we did? Because I've gone by and it's not locked at night, so I didn't know if there was...
We're working on things. We're trying to get a pole in place so we can get electricity over there. And then we can start to put things in place.
Thank you.
The pole has been ordered, by the way.
Okay. Mail. We have a letter to the superintendent of schools regarding Donald Bean
not being able to represent the town with the school board because of in-person meetings and not allowing anything else. So we have a response from the superintendent that says, not knowing what Dr. Bean provided the town, I'm unable to speak to what was read at your meeting. However, we did receive a notice from Dr. Bean expressing his personal disappointment in the board decision, and it was clear he made it a personal decision. The board was faced with adopting a policy that would permit all board members and the public to meet via remote. There was no option for the board only to participate remotely. Therefore, the board felt in person would be most beneficial for the board to conduct business efficiently and effectively. I was sorry to receive Dr. Bean's resignation and more disappointed in the overall content directed at the board from him. He says, no, he is aware of this statement. The 18-member board has worked through many obstacles during conducting remote meetings, poor or no internet reception, lack of ability to use the technology, and ineffective meetings. So the board elected not to approve that policy. I hope the town is able to find a representative to serve in this position that serves the students of RSU 57 well, as he did.
Who would fill the seat?
That was my next question.
You didn't ask it, Bill.
They called and Donna said they've been calling.
I feel the phone calls also.
What? They've been calling, who's they?
Other members of the school board.
So I don't know.
Did anybody else run? I believe there was one other person.
I would have to go back and look. I don't remember who there was.
Yeah, it was close.
It was Adam.
Yeah.
I mean, do we have the authority to?
I have a document that Polly gave me that outlines what the board can do as far as appointing somebody, but I didn't bring it to this meeting because I didn't even want to discuss it. But it's in the statute that says
probably we're going to decide tonight anyway. I think we're going to want to look. Well, I think we want to look at what we have for information and digest that first. See where it goes.
He may be late.
Amy got elected.
Yeah, she did.
So, I mean, we can post it on the website for people that are interested to apply and see what we can come up with that way. That would probably be the quickest way to get something.
See what the rules are first.
The charter.
Yeah, there's language and charter and all that.
We'll take a look at it. Okay? All right. So the next section is complaints. There's no complaints.
Yes, there is.
No. All right. So a citizen came in to discuss the need for a light in the circle at the end of Country Way because it is very dark in that area. She said cars are parking there late at night and going into the woods. She feels unsafe, as does her neighbor.
Top of 35.
Crash off the left.
Oh, no.
John, refresh us on town policy on streetlights. What have we done with that in the last 10 years?
I can't ever remember putting that
in. We haven't added one.
Pools Crossing is the only one you guys have put in.
And that's not recent.
No, that was 15 years ago.
Because they've asked for more, and we said, you do it.
But we're still paying the bill for that one, though.
For that one.
Yeah.
Most likely.
That was the last one, from what I gathered, board that put that one in.
Mm-hmm.
because it's maintenance, it's upkeep. Mm-hmm. And it's...
I know what that CPC and BDM do like to jump in on the ad lights.
Yeah, but we're going to end up paying. Yeah, because I don't think you actually pay for the electrical usage. It's a fee, if I'm not mistaken.
It's a flat fee, I think it is.
I think it is.
They calculate what it uses in a year's time, and I think we pay a flat fee for what we have.
Is that something you want to look at?
I can, but I already know that the
issues we've paid attention.
Every subdivision out there is dark and heavily treed, and, you know, I mean, everyone can say the same thing. We want a light, we want this light, we want a light on this corner.
Well, I'd like to have two more lights in my driveway.
So I rest my case.
I've only got two.
Yeah.
Four would be nice.
But you'd settle for three.
Yeah.
That would be my only concern, is you start doing that and then everybody's going to want one. You know, and it's these aren't city streets like Portland where there's a street light in every corner. And maybe the trees can be cut back and out, I don't know. I mean, all those subdivisions are well overgrown. So, it's a problem they all have.
Yep. If you don't mind, if I'll take a look at that.
Yep.
Okay. 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 We need to approve the minutes of the October 4th regular meeting. So, okay, so.
I have a question. And, in regards to the bids, did we...
Which bids?
The paving bids. Did we not vote on that?
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
Right, yeah.
Did you go with Dayton?
It's at the end.
Very end, yeah.
Well, it's in a different spot. Sorry.
Because we didn't do it.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. I'll second.
Let's give John a second.
I looked in the chart room, the words, it said 5, it didn't say how, it just said vacancies of any board shall be filled by a new appointment by the Board of Selectmen within 30 days from the time and of said vacancy, or as soon as an appropriate replacement can be found to serve the remainder of the expired term.
I know there's like an emergency appointment, like, because you have to get someone in there. But that sounds right. So it's like if you can't, it's like 90 days and something or other. Do you remember? Isn't there another spot?
Yeah.
There's a couple of selectmen and
art. Yeah, so we just we can appoint it for the remainder. And then when that's over, then you're
right. Yeah. But there, I think there's like an exception for select board members and RSC members. They have to be done jointly.
We waited.
But I can't remember what section it is.
To vote? How would you know anything about this?
No, nothing.
There's a section 4.2.5.8.
Because we're going to 4.1.2 and 4.8.
The minutes of the October 4th meeting. Yep. All those in favor? 5-0. Thank you. Okay, then we go to payroll warrant number 23 in the amount of $20,383.28. Any discussion? All those in favor? 5-0. Thank you. Accounts payable warrant for fiscal year 2022 in the amount of account payable warrant number 22 for fiscal year 2022 in the amount of $151.09. So moved.
Second.
Okay.
Okay, any discussion? All those in favor? 5-0, thank you. Accounts payable warrant, I don't know what number it is, says for fiscal year 2022 in the amount of $78,937.55.
Warrant 21.
Warrant 21. Now I know. Motion in a second. Anybody with any questions? All those in favor? 5-0. Thank you. Okay. The update on the computer room control cooling system. The Zion company from Westbrook will be installing that this week. Everything's in. It's going to be, should be all done by the end of the week.
Good deal.
We have in your notebooks, you have some notes on remote meetings. We do need to get this resolved in fairly short order because we need to have a public hearing on it before it can go into effect. You want to go with?
No. We decided that no. There's just I've had no time to work on it. We said that there was language in here that was restrictive. So we need to come up with another version of it. And this policy is this an example policy, Donna, from Echo Main. For our review.
This is both for public information, people to participate, and for board members to participate.
So then why can't we schedule a public hearing?
We need to have what we're going to have the hearing ready.
Everybody's going to work on it anyway. So why don't you go on with a rough draft and go with a public hearing?
If that's what you want to do.
That's just maybe I'm wrong.
You guys all okay with that?
Once you set your public hearing date, that'll give you a little impetus to get your policy in line in time for your public hearing, correct?
Mm-hmm.
You know, right? Because that was your thought, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you want to set for a public hearing date?
Is it, did you need 10 days?
That was in here somewhere. says the public should be provided sufficient notice of the meeting. So it doesn't really say how long we have to do it. So why don't we...
What's our standard for public hearings, though?
We usually do at least 7 days notice.
Yeah, that works. Why don't we do it the next meeting?
Do you want to do it before the next meeting?
No, you got to do it the next meeting.
Next meeting.
The next meeting is also the question. Since the election is the second, this room is not going to be available on the first. So I put that on the agenda as well for tonight to discuss a new date or a new plan for November.
Does the planning board have the room on Wednesday?
Usually, well, it depends which week it is. I'd have to look at the calendar.
Is there any chance we could move it a week to go from the first, go from the, what was the first Monday, November the 2nd? Am I getting that right?
No, first.
Tuesday, yeah, right, first. So that will put you to the 7th, yeah, Tuesday's the 2nd for the election day. You could move the meeting back, schedule it for Monday, if this room's not, this room's usually open Mondays, right?
Oh, Monday the 1st, they're going to be setting up for the...
Right, I'm saying the 7th.
The 8th,
I'm sorry.
Before we, I know we have to get this in place, but how close are we to implementing this to have the public participate?
I can do it tonight.
For Zoom? Okay.
You can do it with the plan you have. I can do it, but I can train her to do it.
Okay.
I mean, you can do it with the equipment you have. It's not the greatest.
Well, I believe the new stuff is being set up tomorrow.
Yeah, that wouldn't even matter. As long as you have the Zoom account, which you've always had, it's you just have to have a perpetual link that you're going to use, but I would not. Of course, I can talk to her about what to do it. But it can be done in a flash, yes.
Okay.
It could have been done for tonight. And I will volunteer my time to train them.
I don't have a problem with the 8th. So is that what we want to do at 5:30?
On the 8th?
Yeah. Before the meeting? Have a public hearing?
That's all right. Can we get, can you get a copy of whatever that is? Can you post it online on the website or something so we can read it? Okay. You know, going in, having something.
Yeah, I thought we was talked to last time. We talked about doing a workshop followed by a public hearing.
Days, in case you don't get it all done in one, right? Are you pretty confident you get it done in one workshop? I mean, this is not my area.
If anyone does have any questions on Zoom, you can email me, and I'll gladly.
What days do you gentlemen have for a workshop? If there's no meeting this Wednesday. Do you want to do this Wednesday? Don, can you check?
I don't think there is this Wednesday. Because the planning board's usually away. There might be. I think they're on the same week we are.
Can you check?
Yeah.
We'll wait for you.
Is here on Wednesday night at 7. The room's available Tuesday and Thursday this week or next Monday and Wednesday.
I can't do Tuesday.
What about Thursday?
I can do Thursday.
You can't do Thursday? Monday? Next Monday? Does that work? John?
Yep.
Monday? 6 o'clock?
Yep.
Okay, Oscar Littlefield Road, I have not heard from the town attorney on that. The question...
We need to vote that in, right? Here's just a vote for that meeting.
This big one came here.
Go to the workshop.
Yeah. Michael, look for the answers.
Okay.
All in favor? Thank you. Oscar, I haven't heard back on Oscar Littlefield Road. I think the crux of the question is going to be, is do we want to take one of those surveys that was done on the current location of the road and use those figures for the easement, or do we want to hire a surveyor to go do the GPS coordinates for the center of the current road and then use that?
What does Brad say? What's going to be legal?
He said they're both legal, basically.
Which one infringes less on people's privacy?
Well, the way it would get worded, neither one really infringes. We just have to decide the width. There's a section of the road that has a 30-foot right-of-way and a section that has a 40-foot right-of-way. The town.
The town has to decide.
We have to decide what we want to go with. Do we want to say we're going to take the center line and do 15 feet either side, and that's what goes, so it takes the current road, gives us 15 feet, and use that for the entire line. And that was what would get written into the easement. Also, what would get written into the easement is that this would in no way affect anybody's road frontage requirements for a property.
What about setback?
It applies to all of that. So it's basically taking what's there, saying we're happy with where it is.
And so it doesn't burden them with setback?
Correct.
Right.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
So you're saying 15 feet each side of center line?
Well, it depends what we decide.
Because some of those pins are right on the edge of the road.
Yes, I know they are.
So the 15 feet would not work. I mean, there's places that road's only going to be able to get paved 15 and 16 foot wide, and that's it. I mean, I can think of three pins right now that are right in the ditch line.
You know, so, I can think of a couple garages that are an inch from the boundary line.
Yeah, so... I think that's something that really needs to
Then be. I guess the question is to ask them, but Who wants to incur the expense? Hire a surveyor.
The other part of it is, anything we do over there doesn't fit any of our road ordinances for
that. That's correct. That is correct.
So, anyhow.
So, well, the crux of the issue for us is, you're right, none of that stuff fits, right. It's not right, but we've been doing it for 50 years.
Oh, I agree.
So now we're being told by our attorney that we have an obligation to continue.
Yes, and it will save us money to pay it, it's no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
But are we going to pave it with some landowners not wanting to pave? Some people that live there, I mean, are we going to, what do we do with that issue, or is that up to the attorney?
The general plan was to get it, all the easements that we could, and then we expect there might be one or two people that are going to pull back. One of those may not actually butt up to the road, so may not have a legal standing to oppose it, which would leave one, and the town attorney says that he can deal with that.
So when we take this over, this is going to have to be recorded.
Yes.
Anyway, so if it's going to be recorded, you're going to have to have a survey.
Yeah.
So it has to be certified.
Yeah, that makes sense.
What's the latest survey? What's the date on the latest survey?
Absolutely.
Roughly.
I'd have to go look.
Is it within the last 10 years? 15
I think
years?
It's the last 3 or 4 years.
So David, so it's been surveyed in the last 4 or 5 years. So that's pretty accurate.
Been surveyed 20 times in 30 years.
Oh yeah, I mean, you can see almost every single pin on that road now. Have all been exposed, all the caps.
All I'm saying is you're still going to have to create a document that you're going to record.
Correct.
So somebody...
That's what those easements would be.
So Brad is going to take that and record it.
Correct.
So we have a survey already that we can work off of, is what you're saying.
Possibly. I would want him to say yes, but I think so.
Well, so you're either going to spend money on a lawyer or you're going to spend money on a surveyor. Either way, you're going to spend money because he's going to have to research all those deeds. Yeah. So if you're going to do the center line of the road, I think that's the, you know, I know it may have been done 4 or 5 years ago, but, you know, I mean, unless you have that.
The advantage of having a survey done is he does the deeds, and right. He does all the documentation, right. So you're paying just one person.
Yes.
The disadvantage of that is it won't happen this year. I doubt you'd get a surveyor right now. We've been waiting a month and a half on Kennebunk Pond. It's going to be done the first week of November. Unless you know somebody that can jump right on it, but they've got to start backwards from square one. You know the firm that last did it, Bill? Roughly?
It was either Dowell, Coloma, or Corner Post.
So either one of those, if they did it, then all they would have to do is come out and verify.
That's correct. And update it.
Which is old, which just update it and give it.
That's a lot faster than starting from zero. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're already middle of October here.
Whichever one it is, if it's, you know, whoever the last one was or whoever you want to use, we need to follow up a phone call and the last 9 days and verify the last survey.
Typically, the surveyor's name is on the cap and the date. So,
I know Mike Gervais can fill me in, but I've got those copies of those surveys.
Yeah.
And so does Brad. Brad's got those. So, we'll check. All right. In the package, you have some documents from Vesta. is the only company we have anything from at this time. Nobody else would return a call, period. So what we did is we're looking for storage and possible office space, climate control, heating, cooling, so we can move stuff out of here that needs to be stored. And if we need an office or something too, we have a place to put one. So we have some documents, and I can go through these with you real quickly. This is 24 by 60 in size.
How long?
24 by 60.
60?
6-0.
Where would you put something that big?
Well, this is what they make for portable buildings. For construction sites, schools, libraries, I mean, for everything. So this is the only company that would even talk to us. So just to give you an idea, 24 by 60 includes the installation, et cetera, skirting, okay, we can purchase it for $194,750.
Of course we can. Let's get to it.
Yep.
What's the status of the town hall expansion committee?
Good question.
Good question.
Not much going on with them right now.
Okay. Are they meeting?
I don't think so.
Should they meet before we spend $194,000?
Yes.
Have they heard of
it? Yes. But we need something right away. So I'm just bringing it up. So, yes.
What's going to be stored in it?
We've got a lot of file cabinets of documents with historical information that we keep. We've talked about digitizing that. We've been doing some research on that. Everything's slow motion today. You know, you just can't get things quickly.
So we're talking like paperwork.
Paperwork, documents, historical documents.
That has to be climate controlled?
Yes. Yep.
Like air conditioning and heat.
Yep.
How much daily access do they need to the historical documents?
How do you answer that? My guess, very little.
Is it, there are climate controlled storage facilities that have monthly.
I think obviously this is a starting place.
This is just a starting place.
I mean, if you need it pronto, though, there are places you go that are, you know, the climate control, that big one in Portland. I think there's one in, I thought there was one in Biddeford, South, but it's not a control. And just.
Brand new one in Circle.
Yeah, and it's climate controlled, and at least you could instantly have it, and it's not that far to drive to if you had to.
And you don't have to buy it.
No, yeah. I haven't finished.
Sorry.
All right. So if we go, and I'm talking the same size of unit at this point, just for something new. So we can lease it. A 24-month lease is $3,500 a month. A 36-month lease is $2,600 a month. 48-month lease is $2,200 a month. And a 60-month lease is $1,915 a month. Delivery and installation is $65,000. Tear down and return is cost plus 15%. We asked for this information. This is what we got. So,
go girl.
Any way you look at it, it's an expensive proposition.
Can you say that again? Cost and tear down is what?
It says cost plus 15%. So whatever it costs them to take it, remove it, take it wherever they're going to go. They're going to calculate that plus 15%, and that's what they're going to go with.
Did you ask for a 24 by 60, or is that what they said?
That's their common size that they provide.
For an office trailer?
Yes. That would have two offices and the rest for storage.
So that's as wide as this room here. Less 2 feet. This room's 28. We do not need a building this big by 60 foot long. No way.
No, I agree. I think, again,
and then
I think
you can monthly cost if you can cool the
number. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
But you also read this.
The 6 month lease is $114,000.
It doesn't include fire alarm, low voltage, fire suppression, plumbing, electrical.
Yeah, we got to hook up power to it.
Security systems or anything like that.
So, but as I said, this is the first one.
Yeah.
We contacted three or four, and this is the only one that calls.
Did you contact Hale Job Trailers?
I don't have my list of what was all contacted.
Job Trailer would work.
That's good. Because Hale does Job Trailers, and they're not expensive.
That's all we used to have.
And they're locked.
14 footers by
all
6,
your,
4
all
by
your
50.
Windows are caged. They have heat. Granted, it's electric heat, but... I mean, we're not looking to keep the place at 80 either. I mean, that's, I know they're reasonable.
Yep. So anyway, that's what we got to report back on.
We can buy a used mobile home for less.
U-Haul and Taco is $94 a month value for principal.
Yeah, that's a good. That brings up a good point. Does it have to be on site, though?
Well,
if,
that's why
if
I
you're thinking
office,
no, but if you're thinking offices, clearly has to be
office. You would need to have on site, but if we can get the space cleared out of here, we could probably take care of the office space, at least in the interim. You know, with what we've got here.
But didn't Polly say though that some records had to stay here? When she was here that night, didn't she say that some of those records have to be accessible during normal business hours?
Any records that would be used on a daily basis, we'd want to keep here anyway. But, I mean, we've got file cabinets over there. We've got them in the other rooms. We've got full of file cabinets. And they never even open the doors.
Right.
But we have to keep those records. So... That was when we had the discussion about digitizing records, and then you have, if they're federal records, you have to go by federal guidelines. If they're state, you have to go by state guidelines, and it's like, I haven't had it.
Have we, like, taken stock and said, all right, this file cabinet's this big, that file cabinet's that big, we've got all this other stuff, we need roughly X amount of square feet.
We have asked everybody to go through what they have and anything that doesn't have to be kept to take care of it. And I didn't see too much more.
So they needed everything.
Right.
So they have to get to it. So what John's saying is got to be a mathematical equation.
So we know how they go.
Right now, we don't understand.
No criticism
anywhere. Oh, no. But I'm just saying, I mean, even if you were able to go get a 14 by 30 building insulated that we could heat and cool to put it out here and get it set up, how much do you think it's going to cost? $20,000?
I can tell you that a 14 by 24 shed is... $13,000.
Just for the shed. Now you have to insulate it, wire it, secure it, put it on some type of a block or foundation, provide lights. Yeah. And all of that. I mean, anything you do seems to me you're talking probably $60,000 plus. But the thing we have to really consider is we need to do an interim until the fix is come up with. So we need to do something. So I'm open to ideas.
Contact Hale. Go right direct. You're a municipality, you go right direct.
I'll call them tomorrow.
I have no clue who they are.
I do. I deal with them. All right.
Okay.
Well, the best place to put it is on the other side of the building, on the lawn. Can't put it out in the parking lot. So we go on the inside of the building, the power's over there.
When you look at them, can you see if you get one with one or two offices in it, please?
Well, typically a job trailer has two offices in it, one on each end, and all a big conference room storage in the center.
Yeah.
From anyone that we've ever leased, you know.
Okay. All right. Since treasurer's report next. All right, the first page is actually, Sue Bellarose report on real estate property taxes, an excise collection. Before coming to the meeting tonight, I talked to her on the phone, and she said the current amount of collected excise is about $3,000 less than where we normally are at this time of year. So she said it's very close, very close. She doesn't feel it's anything to worry about at this point.
Have the tax bills gone up?
Tax bills, yeah. It's the U.S. Postal Service. They are so slow.
Yeah, we just got
it. It's incredible. And some people have gotten them, some haven't. They went out last week.
Yeah, it was last week.
They've been out over a week.
Yeah, we just got ours Saturday.
Yeah, so they are out there. Okay, on the treasurer's report, we have the ARPA and Connect Maine. You have a document on those in your folders. So we have the Connect Maine gives us connectivity with what's available from the state for other grants and information to go along with the ARPA program. And the Jeanette was saying she recommended that we create a committee that would be in charge of coming up with a plan how to facilitate the use of those funds to look at it. There's a lot involved in it. You know, the original proposal came out, and it had one sheet that said you can't use it for payroll. And that was it. Now it's like 150 pages of you can't do this, you can't do that.
What was the amount?
For the ARPA funds, $477,000.
Over 2 years.
Over 2 years. $286,000 a year, I think it was something like that. $276,000. So obviously we have to pay particular attention to what you can and can't do. But then again, we have to look at all of the possibilities of what it could be used for, and then go through and select what we feel is probably the most important and the best for the town.
Well, can we, from having, can we have something, you know, document for dummies that we can apply it to?
There is no such document.
Right. Can we, but they gave us the criteria.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so why can't we put that on an Excel spreadsheet and look at it that way? So you can say, nope.
I'm not sure it's laid out that way.
I know, but we can create it. I have it created.
Yeah, possibly. Would you like to look at that?
I would not. But I'm sure this savvy typist that we have already that can probably put it together.
Well, see why it doesn't have to be a town employee to do that, does it?
Wasn't that the purpose of this committee that you just read and put all that together?
Not to put that document that I'm talking about, but they could.
That would be good if they put that document together. That would help them familiarize themselves with it, as they were creating the document that would help us at the same time.
Sure.
Just a...
No. And you have to understand that it's a weekly changes, so things change weekly on it.
So do we even want to rush into this right now? If it's still changing?
Well, you've got to search. We have 2 years to deal with it, too. So we can't just put it off and ignore it.
But the funds have been received half.
We have received the first half, yes. They are in a new account collecting interest. It's a new separate account just for
that. I would think that we would want to move this forward in a timely manner. Discuss that at the public meeting, too.
I think that would be a very good idea.
Thank you.
Let's discuss.
Is it a public document?
It's nothing secret.
So this is something that goes here to get a copy of if you wanted to look at it?
I don't believe there's any problem with that at all.
So if I asked Jeanette, I probably could get a...
I can ask her, but I don't believe that that's a problem at all. I don't believe it is.
So, are we going to get public input?
Well, I think we need to. I think we need a committee to put together the parameters of what to do to get the input so we know what different plans are out there that could use the funds that meet the criteria. And then we need to sort it by priority and see how that fits with what we have.
Okay, so when we advertise, it's going to be clear that we're going to have two things on the agenda.
Oh, for the public hearing?
Yes.
Sure.
Yep. What are we going to tell them at the public hearing? Yeah. We got nothing we can tell them. All we say is,
well,
we got this money coming.
Exactly. We have this money coming.
We don't know what we can use it for.
Well, that's the document that I was talking about putting together.
So you're planning on having that before this public hearing comes up?
I don't see why that can't happen.
We have a document that gives us the parameters of what we can do.
Right.
We have a document.
I'm just saying make it, so that it's very understandable, the governmental letter.
You're going to get that done in 7 days?
Sure. You can do it, Dave. I know you can. There's no doubt it can be done.
Aren't there four criteria?
All it is cheat sheet.
The document
is very detailed on what you can or cannot do. It is very government
compliant.
I think you can get it in 7 days.
Yeah, you have to read it out 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I haven't seen the full.
Not what I saw. What you were
reading. I've seen some of it.
I read it and it's just
dramatic. And you said that there was another document coming out with more.
How?
Restriction.
In depth it is.
So I don't know when the last one off.
Every ounce
come out.
They said it's going to be continued.
It works in big cities.
But the restrictions are going to be
continued.
Yeah. Well, then how can you even move forward with
it? Now.
Exactly.
You do what's at the time of.
And what happens if it gets restricted?
Oh, if it's already been approved, I guess they can't go
this time of year.
I remember you saying
that. Initiative when we work and we vote against retroactive laws.
I know.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
We talk about it at the workshop, too. I mean, I think that's a
good 400 or something.
Yeah, 286 for you.
Yep.
So, I know the right. Four criteria. Everybody's in there. Just break down for me.
Nothing moves fast enough.
Oh, yeah.
I understand.
This is probably where you have a question, Dave.
Did I?
So why don't you ask the questions?
My questions.
why are we at 151% for a line item of annual service agreements, computer repairs, on and on?
We are at, in the service agreement, computer repairs, and then if you look down, that's line 02. If you go down, you have line 08 is computer equipment. You have an offsetting amount that is not going to be spent because the cost of the other stuff went up on us. And so the two balance each other out, which puts it at 100%. So why are we at 100% on service agreements now? We were able to buy for a lower hourly rate more time by paying ahead in a lump sum, which brought that to the 100%. But we still have those hours that is owed to us. But we got more hours for a less hourly rate by doing it that way.
So I wasn't at that meeting, so, but I know what you're talking about. That was voted on. But are you saying that we're not going to receive any more of these $2,000, $3,000 bills?
We are going to have, there are going to be bills that come in, and if you look at, on line 02, if you look under encumbrances, $15,472, yeah, they will come out of that amount that are encumbered. That's why it put it at 100%. So the money, that's why the line is at 100%, because it's already encumbered.
Well, it's at 151%.
Well, it is, but if you go down and take line 8, there's still a balance of $25,000, which pretty much reverses that whole thing. It's in the same department.
And you're saying, so you're not stealing Peter to pay Paul?
No. No. We've had to scale back on some of the equipment because the cost has just skyrocketed on stuff. So we had to back down on that and to stay within the parameters of the budget.
So did that answer my question, if we were going to still receive these $2,000 bills?
We're going to get those bills, but it's already encumbered. So it's already subtracted.
Out of that contract?
Yes.
So what happens if we go over the hourly money that's encumbered?
Then we try our best not to.
Well, we can't.
That's correct. No, but we are, with the Zoom equipment going in, we are pretty much at the end of the projects that we wanted to do. So the needed time is going to drop dramatically.
Is that something that the funds can be used for?
I wouldn't want to answer that because I don't know. Some of that we can, some of it we can't. Some of the funds, we're in this Connect Me, part of that is to identify areas that we can use the ARPA funds on and also state grants on. They're doing a big push on the internet for people. They want everybody to have the internet. So we're in the process with Connect Me, identifying with them and Spectrum what areas of town don't have good coverage and what the cost is to put that in, and then to see if that falls either within the ARPA funds or the state grants to see what we can do with it. And that has nothing to do with adding a surcharge onto the Spectrum bills to the town residents of 1-5% of the bill, which the courts have ruled we can do. It has nothing to do with that at all. We're looking at the ARPA funds and the state grants. That's what we're looking at. There is a couple of other accounts that we haven't looked down through. The PSAP account's at 100%. It was July 1st. Because we get the bill for the year, we have to pay the bill for the year. So it's always at 100%. So if you go down and look at those, so that if you look under item number, it's on the second page, and it says 35 professional services, number 20 says PSAP. That's the one that's at 100%. We had a line item for the CEO to cover for the CEO for the month of July, $1,442. That's at 100% because that's been expended. The ACO salary, I'm sorry, the animal shelter cost is at 99.99% because they bill us for the year and we pay that in advance. Annual York County tax assessment. The county sends us a bill. We have to pay the bill. It's at 199.93%. And if you get down to the reserve accounts, you'll see that those... those are at 100%. We took that into account when we were talking about the first question that we were discussing. You will see professional services. Oh, we have protection. I believe that's fire protection because we pay that to Dayton for the fire department. So that's paid up front. So that's at 100%. We have professional services because the money is encumbered at 100%. Now that's encumbered, that's not spent, but it puts the budget at 100%.
Capital improvement reserve.
Which one?
Capital improvement.
A capital improvement reserve.
What did we pull out of that?
The sign, wasn't it?
Yeah, sign that out wasn't that? All of it.
We haven't approved that.
Yes, we did.
We didn't move forward with it.
Yes, it's here. Yes. And that was approved, if you think, back April, May, and then we held off.
We had meetings on it.
And then that went back and forth. So now if you get down the rest of the accounts, they're under where we need to be. So I think I've explained any of those accounts that are at 100% and why they're there. It's not because we overspent it. It's because we have to pay those up front for the year. A lot of them have to be paid for the year. Does that answer your question?
That does. Actually, there's a lot of 100% there. So it does sound throwing up red flags.
It does, but because we encumber now, that's what makes it look differently also. Because once it's encumbered, we don't want them spending it for something else when we said it's going for this particular item.
Let's go back to the capital improvement reserve. We spent more last meeting for the motion.
There's multiple capital improvement counts.
Thank you.
Okay. Believe me, it's very confusing. Speaking of which, that brings up, it's a good time to bring up another part. I've been talking with the treasurer, because we were discussing the issues that were brought up at the June town meeting about why is snow plowing and building maintenance account, and why can't we see all the snow plowing accounts as a group no matter what, where they go, and it's because of the way the numbering is done on our accounts. So Jeanette's in the process of renumbering it as a temporary thing so that we can say, okay, now we want payroll from all the departments, and here's your payroll report for the year, for the budget. We would like all the road expenditures from any department. Here they are. We can now group them together, yes, and you can see it. But we can also group it by department. Instead of having all the departments as part of the group, we can say what is just in roads, what is just in transfer station, what is just in town hall. So electricity is a good one. We'd like to know all the electricity accounts. Okay, we can get a report. Here they all are together. But we can also then break it up by department so that we know where it goes for each department, so we can get it both ways. So that's something that she's going to do a presentation to the board, and for us to say yes to go forward and change, make the change or not. And that's what was brought up at the town meeting, putting those together that way. So we have been working on that for a few months. Okay. We did treasurer and tax collector. Road commissioner.
So I met with DEP at the culverts on Clark's Woods Road, and they have pushed it off to Inland Fisheries, who I'm supposedly, hopefully, going to meet with this week on the beaver problem. He has contacted me, and we're going to try to set up a time where he can come and investigate and look at it. I've given him the ideas that we'd like to do, and he's got some ideas, but they need to investigate it and look at it. The trapping is supposed to start on the 24th of this month, and that should help slow things down. The pipes presently are three-quarters plugged again. So there's not many more days and they will be completely plugged. So this beaver diversion system that Inland Fisheries is talking about is going to be an expense, but not compared to having to clean those pipes and taking a chance on breaching a road. So it would be a one-time expense, and it would be there forever. Hopefully trapping will help eliminate some of the problems. Like I said, his permit isn't good until the 24th. That's when they can start trapping. So that'll be taken care of. All of the electronic equipment and units for compaction have been all serviced up at the transfer station. Those have all been serviced. New filters, oil. So those are all done. Those four units up there are complete. There's been numerous new signs put up around town on signs that were missing, signs that were bent, road signs in particular, road names. That's an ongoing battle.
We never have one at the end of Cable Pond. Never. It goes up, it comes down.
Well, there's a story behind that now because DOT already got a hold of me, and they have on tape the person that took it. They actually unbolted it. The solar panel and the flashing sign took the time to unbolt it and left the 6x6 there. And they took the entire post and Kennebunk Pond sign and put it in their truck.
Good.
But the woman next door at the homestead got their plate number. So I'm sure that's in the state police's hands by now. So hopefully that'll be corrected. If they can't find it, unfortunately, they don't know when they can get a replacement because the state's having issues getting solar panels.
Street sign must be high.
So that's that issue. Like I said, the pole is scheduled to go in hopefully within the next couple of weeks at Kennebunk Pond. The cattails will be coming out on the overflow on the right-hand side where the pole launch is. Those are going to get removed to open up that spillway so it runs cleanly instead of going out around the beach, washing all the leaves and all the sand down into that overflow. This way it'll be able to run down straight through where it belongs. Let's see, the trees are scheduled hopefully this week to be cut on the curve on Walker Road. So that's in motion. I met with CMP yesterday on a Sunday, if you can believe that. He called me up. He happened to be there. So that pole 18S that's in the curve, they're going to send an engineer out to approve removing it and be doing away with it. So that has to be done. Let's see. Roof Lane is scheduled to be reclaimed hopefully in the next 2 weeks. And that 900 feet will be reclaimed and paved. So that'll be in good shape for the winter. Let's see what else. I've looked at three culvert installs for three driveway permits. The mailbox issue, Donna, on Williams Road has finally been dealt with. So that's being taken care of. That's about it for the week.
Any questions?
All right.
Okay, Holly. Ice rink, Parks and Rec.
Yeah, we need to sign the PO.
We have a PO to purchase it. She'd like to have signed. You guys are fine with it? It's for $4,362.51.
It's all budget item. All.
Yeah, it's all part of their budget. Yep. You guys all set with that?
The only thing I do need is what kind of signs do you guys want at the ice rink? I don't know what insurance purposes, what we need out there.
Talk with Jeanette. The insurance company had some definite ideas. And they also said to talk, I can't remember who they said to call, would be able to tell you what they wanted up there. There was only a few things.
Okay.
I think one of them was no hockey when everybody's ice skating.
Right, we were going to have certain times for hockey and certain times. So that,
probably no dogs.
You have a thing with skating.
But check with Jeanette. She had that list from the insurance company. Yeah. And that way she can give that to you.
Okay, we're getting the power fixed and the concession stand. We're going to have lights out so we'll be ice skating at night.
Oh, good.
And it's all staked out over there.
Okay. New business. It says appointment for election clerks.
The green folder to be signed. The appointments for the election folks.
Yep.
They're just in the green folder to be
signed. No, they're right here.
Then they're right there.
He has the green folder for the signed ones.
He's the assistant.
Hang on, we're getting
it. And there's several clipped together. We'll make sure you sign all of them.
Yep.
Please.
Okay, here we go. Want me to read these?
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right, here we go. Okay. To appoint election clerks, Susan Gluck, Jennifer Croteau, and Faith Richard. Any discussion? In favor? 5-0. Okay. Sign that we're going to appoint the clerks, and then we have to sign the appointments, two separate.
Oh, did I give you two and only sign one?
This is going to be just duplicate. There's a book, so. is to appoint Diane Rayshard as a warden for the November 2nd, 2021 election, state election.
Session Title 1 MRSA Section 405.
We're going to discuss that. That's not, we're not ready for
reason personnel matters.
A second for that?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? All those in favor? Okay. So we're going to go into executive session. You probably want to stick around, so if we have anything afterwards, we can come back in the session.
Yep.
We're back in session, so I have an application for Dave Dulong for the Ordinance Review Committee. Do I have a motion?
Yeah, so moved.
Okay, do I get a second? Second, then the motion goes down. Thank you. We need a motion regarding the hiring process for code enforcement assistant to move forward with it.
To have Donna
make arrangements for them to come in and see Tom and Rusty and put things together.
So moved.
Second. Any discussion? All those in favor? Aye. 5-0. Okay. Motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Yep.
5-0. Thank you. That is it.
That is it.
That is it.
2 in the morning.
Is it? Same. Can't be.
Wow. It's all too.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Rusty.
It's been a good time.
Yeah, you know, I can see your energy level.
You just start passing a candy dish around.
I don't know if that would help, really. I don't know if that would help.
I called the fire department and they said.